Welcome to Planet Verloc. You're listening to our show, The Sonics Digerati. And tonight I'm talking about a love of humanity with Air Dr. Verloc, yours truly, and building self-awareness and empowerment. Before I begin, let me throw out this tip for you. Try to imagine in your mind your head surrounded by this brilliant halo of golden light and your brain crackling with this spiritual fire. And hold that image. See how long you can hold that image in your mind. And that image tends to shift around a little bit, albeit. But practice makes perfect. And once you are able to hold this image in mind clearly, center in your brain, thinking your name repeatedly over and over and over again until you can follow that trail straight to the source. Once again, repeat the visualization of what I've just told you. Now, hold that image in mind when you are walking someplace and think at persons who happen to be standing about to get up, walk over, and open a door for you, or anything else you'd like them to do. And see what happens when you put some thoughts into the minds of other people out there, and see if you can make them do things, behave, be happy, be jittery. Well, I'm sure you can think of all manner of fun things to do with that. And when you get really good at it, you can think about influencing computer systems and electronics and things like that. And, you know, then take my video courses and or get the VMX drive that's got every video course I've ever made on there, and all the audiobooks that I've produced. And then study over these, and in a couple months, you'll be ready to project your mind remotely. But try that exercise I was talking about. That's good fun. So, we're talking about building self-awareness and empowerment. And aside from idle curiosity, there is another thing that brings us to this pursuit of self-awareness and empowerment, and that is a whole world of problems. Yep, we all have our little problems, don't we? No problem is really too big or too small to learn from. In fact, I conjecture that problems are like glue, and it bonds a civilization, and if correctly learned from, will lead to greater evolution in the grand cosmic experience that we'll share. Or we'd like to think so. Well, it can do a whole world of difference for you as an individual, if not for everyone else. So, pay attention. Pull up your chair. And listen. I've experimented a lot with mental travel, psionics, psychic. And I've had some out-of-body experiences, you know, the majority of which, by the way, occurred without my having pursued any of this psychic stuff. It just happened as an explosion of, like, it was almost like puberty, but more like psychic puberty. I know, it's a little weird. Some people have that, some people don't have that yet, not in this incarnation, but perhaps if you're reborn again, you know, you come back and you start evolving more and more and then having these experiences, right? But I can help you have some of these experiences now without having to wait until that next incarnation by learning psionics, which I'm going to get to in a moment. Patience. We'll get there. Now, having out-of-body experiences and mental projection, or even in some cases, waking up and finding myself as a pinpoint of consciousness in a void, is not enough in and of itself to draw any conclusions. I think having seen people's minds on the other side people I've known who have died, and some people who I didn't know, I've communicated with through my psionic machines. These are all grand experiences, but also reading from what other people have experienced along these same lines of astral projection, mental travel, and so on, is equally important, and this does actually help me to cross-reference what I've experienced with what other people have experienced. And what I've learned from this, plus listening to customers in business, going to school, going to events, I've been to a few churches, dowsing meetings and so on, concerts, gatherings with friends, and everything else in my life. One thing I've learned is that people have difficulties because, well, people on the whole don't think clearly. We don't. I don't either. Nobody really does. We're not really programs, you know. We don't think clearly. We're like a jumble, a whirlwind, a vortex of energy and power, trying to build up our intellect and stability and have experiences, but more importantly, trying to learn how to control these experiences. And, you know, people are on this lower vibrational level of consciousness, and you're going to say, in comparison to what? Well, in comparison to some of these other beings or minds or personifications of consciousness that I've encountered, and countless other people having lived before me have encountered. Plus, we might be on a lower level of vibration than we realize. We might not be as grand as we think we are. And, you know, in ancient times, man painted the earth as a sort of, he drew up a sketch, let's say that. He drew up a map of the solar system with the earth being at the center of it all. So you could say that people might be a little egocentric. Everything revolves around our experiences. And while this may not be objectively true, because the sun is indeed at the center of our solar system, and at least I hope it's not a black hole that is at the center of our solar system and we just think it's the sun, because gee, gosh, golly, gee, willikers, that would be really awful, right? No, I don't need to scare you more than you probably already are if you watch the news or read anything on MSN. But that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is, it's not an entirely bad thing to be not so godlike, which I will explain in a moment. But bear with me. Bear with me in my sense of humor. Anywho, we may not be objectively so great, but perhaps subjectively we are. Maybe we're even, in one sense, greater than we think. So it's really just a matter of how you look at things. We live in a world of polarities, you know. Just imagine every concept that you can think of, every object that you can touch, every person that you know, every event in your life being like this pole, like a shaft. And at one end is extremely great, and at the other end is extremely negative. And we live within the balance of these polarities all the time. Yeah. So, while in one sense, depending on your perspective or point of view, you might not be really great, but then on another point of view, you might be spectacular. And it's really your choice of finding that balance where you feel most comfortable working and moving forward with in your life. And that's really just a mental trip in and of itself. Let's get on to some more concrete things. Let's just delve into problems. So we all have our little problems. It is sort of like having foggy vision, you know, having our ears stuffed with cotton, or being in a partial paralysis state while we're up and awake and working. And, you know, people are calling us funny names in the office to try to get our attention. Tom, are you paying attention? Then people bump into one another and they share their problems. This sticky, icky stuff we call problems. They share problems, but this is perhaps the beginning of shared consciousness. And on a much larger scale, perhaps eventually a universal scale. So these problems sort of bind us all together. They make us interact and they make things move. Without problems, we'd be bored to death and we would have nothing to do. So thank you for all the problems you've created me. Right? No, but really, once we realize that all things, and I'm being serious now, including the sun, are but shadow puppets in a shadow world, then we can awaken to this true self and realize this. There is only will. There is only will. And then there is consciousness. All else is a theater. And if consciousness goes to sleep here, it awakens over there. Consciousness does not end. But let's get back to people problems, all right? And more interesting, the types of minds which accompany these problems. Stay with me. Some realize their problems, or the problems of others, or the problems of the world, both internal, external, personal, subjective, or objective. So, one type of person will acknowledge a problem and then concurs that they can't possibly do a thing about it. You know, we just sit my ass in the couch, in the sofa, there's not a fucking thing I can do about it, so why bother? Another type of individual sees a problem and gets excited about the challenge of solving that problem. And that's the true spirit of the entrepreneur. In between this are the persons who wish to contribute to helping entrepreneurs solve problems, whether we're talking about co-workers, employees, partners, joint ventures, or investors, is all besides the point. Of course, then we have this other type of mind, which is utterly diabolical, and I'm sure you've run into at least one or two of these types of people in your life. To some degree. I mean, some of us have met some bad ones, and then some of us have met some very bad ones, and some of us have met some legendary bad minds. This is the kind of mind which revels in its wickedness and sees problems as food, sustenance for their dark souls. Right? They benefit off of problems. And, you know, we know who they are, the bankers. And increasing the power driving the problems. Bureaucrats. And of course there are those people who are just plainly insane and lust the chaos at the expense of others. Some globalist, perhaps, right? Even at the loss of their own mortality. Yeah. There's the story of the man flying the airplane who goes to a high enough altitude, everybody passes out, starved of oxygen, and dies, or crashes the airplane on a kamikaze mission. I don't know. It could be terrorist related, but in other cases, it's just people who are agents of chaos. Because destruction is all they can resonate with, right? Okay, there are some unfortunate humans who do resonate only with that destruction. And they'll always be that way. Now, this type of individual is usually, in many cases, elusive. And in large groups of do-right people, they're difficult to spot them, yet there are also those very obnoxious that they cannot hide amongst the majority. Now, I had an unfortunate experience of having such a person as a girlfriend at one time, and Yeah, there was a couple of times where my life was put into danger due to this individual, but I was wise enough, sharp enough to see through the veil of deception that she had weaved over my common sense. Now, these kinds of persons tend to have a power of persuasion over less aware persons, and the result is always the same. Somebody gets hurt, perhaps somebody even dies. Somebody experiences very unnecessary loss. And these persons are, you see, you have to understand they don't have a goal. They don't have any goals. There's no goals. They're not goal-driven people. They have no purpose except for chaos, sowing discord. And they're to be avoided because you can't really make friends with such individuals. You're not going to be in the cool kids club hanging out with them because they're not going to benefit you. When they're done taking out somebody, they're going to turn on you. Who's for breakfast? Who's for lunch? Who's for dinner? Who's next on the menu, right? So those are the types of minds to avoid. Now, when I talked about problems binding a civilization as sort of like a metaphorical glue, that problems also present solutions or opportunities, I was talking about problems that are sort of natural problems that people either have to solve, or the problems that people create not intentionally. Those type of problems we can learn from. I mean, the universe, it's full of consciousness. Humans are, of course, particularly interesting in their diversity of minds. And this, of course, is what brings us into this curious study of something called psionics, which is, of course, the pursuit of mentalism, right? Now, don't feel bad if you haven't heard this word before. You're not too young, you're not too old. In fact, we're probably all born a little too late to even know what this word is. It's an old word. It goes back to the 1900s. Mentalism is a word rather outdated in our contemporary world. However, I use this word to distinguish what I do from all else that is currently out there in the market for the same keywords, such as the occult, magic, these pseudosciences. Mentalism deserves some explanation. So essentially, it's an earnest interest in self-development of the mind, the individual's mind, your mind, my mind, as individuals. Why this is important might seem a superfluous explanation of the simplistic. However, I'm attempting to shave off many of the connotations associated with mysticism and sorcery to reveal this naked truth of consciousness and self-awareness, as to direct my students to essentially to a starting point in your journey. If you understand what distinguishes psionics from mentalism, if there can be any real difference here, is that psionics tends to involve both active psychic ability and often the application of devices, machines, or an assortment of gadgetry, at least when we get into things, the more technical applications of psionics. And this is particularly true in pursuits such as machine dowsing, pendulum dowsing, and taking readings across various instruments. And these instruments are rather metaphysical. And I stress the point here that we're not working with actual science. Unfortunately, listen, there's a lot of hype in the markets elsewhere which purport that these gadgets automatically work all manner of miracles of some hidden science for anyone who buys a bulk chassis riddled with dials and some, you know, shiny blinking lights. The psionics doesn't work because there's a science inside of the box. It's an art form. And in some ways, it's akin to martial arts, because the mind, while we allow creativity, does need some discipline to work with psionics. Psionics, again, is the active psychic powers, often accompanied by machines or working in conjunction with some machines to help us develop, amplify, and direct. And you can remember that as an acronym, DAD, D-A-D, DAD, develop, amplify, and direct. And the old acronym that used to be tossed around was mind over matter, or MOM, M-O-M, right? But DAD, develop, amplify, and direct, I think is more precise as to what the psionics is. And that's not a gender issue between mom and dad. It's just that, you know, development, amplification, and directing is the beginning, middle, and end of psionics. Mind over matter is more of an overall high-level view of what you have achieved. Is the pursuit worth this effort? A focused concentration, meditation? And in the short answer, I'd say yes. Yeah, absolutely, I think so. Because life is better because you are in control. You're the one in control of psionics. That's absolutely true. But it takes some work. And let us face it, my friends, anything worth doing takes some time. Moreover, I believe the Verloc philosophy in and of itself is a game changer. And it's a game changer for the individual in today's world. Psionics is both spiritual and materialistic. You know, like in the writings of my former mentor, Charles Cosimano, the pursuit of psionics was entirely materialistic. With the exception of one of his books that was on the subject of astral travel. And that book, for those of you curious, is called Psionic Path. But by now, the means to an end in that book are rather outdated. But does all of this stuff still work? It does. Fortunately, I've carried on the torch after an absence of my former teacher and old friend. And I have effectively fashioned fast learning materials. And this is for pursuing this self-empowerment, both in material forms and in spiritual earnestness. The choice, and pay attention, the choice between the two pursuits of materialism and spirituality may not be entirely of your own choosing, depending on what life throws at you. Thus, being concerned about material things, it's not a sin or a taboo, and it doesn't make you a terrible human being to want more money or better things in life. Sometimes, more often than not, our needs are indeed material, and sometimes there are problems in life that seemingly only may be solved by having access to stronger purchasing power or the ability to bargain on deals and close sales and form strategic business partnering relationships. Likewise, having an earnest interest in pursuing spiritual blessing, manifestations, or otherworldly experiences beyond the physical limitations doesn't make you a lunatic. There are good and sufficient reasons for embarking on spiritual journeys. I can name one of the biggest, and one of the biggest, bestest reasons for this is when we are growing old and approaching death. That in itself is a pretty darn good reason to take interest in spirituality, but I'm not implying that one need to be near death to take spirituality seriously. I'm talking about opening your mind beyond your current locale in the realm of consciousness and become more aware of what life offers you. And I'd like to extend a warm welcome to you by inviting you into my club, a special program which would ordinarily cost people hundreds of dollars monthly to big players who can afford psionics philosophy and personalized training. However, my program offers you many years of additional audio lectures, video lectures, references, resources for beginners, club projects page, a history of what we've done, and a messaging system for only $29 a month. Plus, you get to be in the Cool Kids Club with Air Dr. Verloc. I'm someone who has passed through the world like a magical interpretation of the legendary historian Mas'udi, right? And survived victoriously in the face of some very dark supernatural events in my life, bringing light back into the lives of my students and my students and growing following. Yes, join us at Verloc.club, where witches and wizards keep the magic high. Thank you for joining me tonight, my lords and ladies. Air Doctor commands.